I read this challenging thought that in Luke chapter 6, the reading that we've heard read tonight, there's perhaps the most misunderstood verse in the whole Bible. This verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 37, which is going to be like the hinge for what we're going to look at tonight, where Jesus says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged." I wonder if you'd agree that that is perhaps the most misunderstood, misapplied verse in the Bible. What is Jesus talking about when he says, "Judge not"? There are some things Jesus certainly is not saying. Jesus is not saying, "Don't think biblically." He's not saying that. "Don't evaluate biblically." Jesus is not saying that. "Don't use your brain to understand what the Bible is saying." That's not what Jesus is saying. So when Jesus speaks here, "Judge not," he's not belittling us having deep convictions about right and wrong, about what is true and what is error. We still have many rights as Christians in the UK. Thank God for those God-given rights. We need to be vigilant. We are living in a godless society. And it may be that the time will come and some of the gospel rights we enjoy will be put under pressure. But we are aware that one of the greatest mistakes that our society thinks we can ever make is to say that anything is wrong. Any religion or ethic or practice, to say that's wrong. That's the big no-no in our society. And we particularly encounter that hostility when we make the claim that Jesus is the only saviour, that through him alone we have forgiveness of our sins and peace with God, but that those who do not believe in him are lost. Our age discounts convictions like that. It's an age that dislikes absolutes. We are living in a nation that is overwhelmingly relativist. No right, no wrong, no truth, no error. And that idea has permeated down, not just in the highest echelons of government, but right down to the men and women men and women all around us. So when the Saviour Jesus says, "Judge not," he's not saying to us that we mustn't think biblically and carefully about what we hear. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying we must suspend our God-given ability to think. If you're a single woman and a man comes up to you and says, "Will you marry me?" Would you say, "Oh, I mustn't judge him, so I must say yes"? You wouldn't think that. I hope you wouldn't. A church is looking for a new minister and a man comes and preaches. He's the right age. He speaks clearly. So they call him before really finding out what does this man actually really believe. Now, that would be foolish if they did that on the basis of "judge not," if they didn't work out where is this preacher coming from? What does he really believe? That's not what Jesus is referring to here when he says "judge not." A man on the TV claims to be an apostle, and he's a miracle worker who can cure you of any disease, just a small fee. Do you believe him and just send him the money because Jesus said "judge not"? No, you search the scriptures. You ask yourself, is what this man's saying in line with what the Bible says? So for Christians, information, claims, ideas, we remind ourselves that in the Bible, the Bereans were commended for searching the scriptures. They wanted to know, is what we're hearing true or not? And in order to find out if it was true, they searched the scriptures. And it's disastrous not to do that. Part of Adam's failure was to evaluate when the serpent insinuated, you can take of the forbidden fruit. You shall not surely die. To not think and evaluate, is this what God has really said, was disastrous. So many of the popular ideas of "judge not" are actually mistaken ideas. What is Jesus really saying here? And one of the most important things when we're trying to work out what is the Bible saying is context. Context. What comes before? What comes after? What does the rest of the Bible say? And we don't have to go outside the Gospel of Luke to find out what Jesus meant when he said here, judge not. Because the same Jesus says, a couple of verses later, be warned about the danger of the blind leading the blind. In other words, you have to work out who are the blind leading the blind. Jesus teaches in this chapter about the good man who out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks, says Jesus. You have to work out, is what this man saying good or evil? And will it lead to good fruit or evil fruit? But Jesus' basic point is, don't be judgmental. One paraphrase puts it like this. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless you want the same treatment, of course. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. Judgmental. That's what Jesus is after. So he is saying, be aware there is this sin, this danger of being judgmental. George Carlin once said, there's a universal road rule. Everyone who drives slower than you is an idiot. Everyone who drives faster than you is a maniac. So to the driver driving quickly, everyone driving slower is an idiot. To the slower driver, everyone going faster is a maniac. But the rule that applies to everyone is, my speed is just right. J.C. Ryle puts it like this. What our Lord means to condemn is a fault-finding spirit, a readiness to quickly blame others. Jesus is saying we should open our eyes to see and our hearts to love long before we open our mouths to speak. We need a biblical focus. And if you've ever tried a telescope, when you're using a telescope, you can use it so that things far away become near. If you turn it around the other way, things that are near can look far away. Jesus is saying, don't use a telescope to bring other faults, the faults of other people, always near, always critical, always judgmental, always criticizing. No, use the telescope as it's meant to be used, that their graces will be brought near. Still, Jesus puts it in verse 38. Give and it will be given to you, good measure. Pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So you can either be judgmental and condemn, or you can be giving and forgiving. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful, says Jesus. We are thankful tonight that our Father in heaven is merciful, is forgiving. Do you know God's mercy? Do you know his forgiveness? You thank God tonight, rich in mercy towards you. You didn't earn it or deserve it. God shows his mercy to you. He forgives sin through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Be like your Father in heaven, not quick to join the blame game. You know what happened when sin entered the world? The Lord came to challenge Adam. And initially, Adam played the blame game. Adam blamed the woman. It's her fault. The woman blamed the serpent. It's the serpent's fault. And as the old saying goes, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. It's been the way of human beings ever since. Blame someone else. So what is Jesus saying when he says, judge not? Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. And the verses that are around it will help us to understand and grasp what Jesus means. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. The first thing we can say is, Beware of double standards. And that's the point of the illustration that Jesus uses. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. It's a great illustration. It has humour in it and a wisdom that cuts to the point. Jesus is saying, there's someone's got a little speck in their eye. But you can't get that little speck out of their eye if you've got a great big plank in your own eye. He's speaking of double standards. You claim to love your neighbour as yourself, and then you say disrespectful or even hateful things about someone of a different race. Condemning sexual indiscretions in society or among celebrities, but covering them up if they occur in the church or in a Christian institution. Criticizing someone else's stumbling attempts at giving a word of testimony, but you never raise your voice at all to speak to others about Jesus. And Jesus is saying, to the extent that you're self-aware, you're aware of your own sins, you'll extend charity towards others. But to the degree you're not, you won't. And then Jesus says, with the measure you extend charity or condemnation to others, the judge of the earth will deal with you. And you see, we can't really judge very often the motives of others. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart. We're quick sometimes to blame based on what we think, but actually it's God who sees the heart. And if God sees the hidden secrets of the heart, then leave that judgment to him. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Said Jeremiah. Sometimes when little children have done something wrong and you ask them why they did it, they tearfully say, I don't know. I don't know, they say. And there can be some truth in that. We are so sinful by nature that sometimes we don't know why we did what we did. We can all think of times we did something or said something foolish, and looking back you say, you know, I don't know why I said something as foolish as that. I don't know why I did something as foolish as that. And if we can't understand our own heart, well, beware of being quick to judge someone else's. So this problem, be aware. And beware of double standards. And then Jesus says here, be quick to encourage, but slow to condemn. Mark Twain, I've been looking at some quotes of his recently. He once listened to a selfish businessman rave about this big plan, this great idea he had. He said he was going to travel to the Middle East and read the Ten Commandments from the top of Mount Sinai. Mark Twain said to him, I've got a better idea. Why don't you stay at home and try to keep them? See, if we made a list of the people we'd encouraged or condemned,